Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thank you so much for coming down. Really appreciate it. Insane in the Membrane podcast.
This Sunday, the 8th of December, join us for Insane in the Membrane live from the Pleasance Theatre Islington with Rich Wilson.
I've been a comedian for 15 years. It's going all right. Although I was scrabbling around my car yesterday trying to find 60p for a tin of beans, so...
And very special guest, star of Uncle and the Reluctant Landlord.
Good evening, cocksuckers!
The brilliant Nick Helm.
And gentlemen!
Tickets are just a fiver, it's nothing, it's the price of a pint, and you can buy one of those too. Sunday, 7:30pm at the Pleasance Theatre, Islington.
I found that through humour, people open up and we have a laugh, and I really appreciate you coming down and doing this. This is the first live one.
Click the link in the show description for this episode on your podcast app.
We can have a laugh while we do it. I think that's what I'm trying to show with the podcast.
And while you're there, please vote for us at the Pod Bible Poll Winners Awards. Both links are in the description, or go to pleasance.co.uk or podbiblemag.com respectively.
You did great, Rich.
Thanks, Bob.
You did great.
Thank you.
We'll see you on Sunday the 8th of December, unless, of course, it's after Sunday the 8th of December, in which case you've missed it, and you'll have to wait till February.
What do we do now?
I don't know. I think that's it. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello once again. Welcome to your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello, everybody. Another week, another episode. Welcome, and welcome newcomers as well to the show. Really appreciate you getting on board. There's a massive back catalogue for you to tuck into with various guests like Dane Baptiste, Scroobius Pip, Samantha Baines, Jen Brister, Ishan Akbar, many, many others. So, yeah, enjoy yourselves. And we've got loads of magnificent guests lined up for the future as well. So do stay tuned. There's some wonderful names coming up. And, yeah, thank you for getting on board. I was lucky enough to be supporting Clinton Baptiste a few weeks ago. Now, Clinton Baptiste is a character that was in the show Phoenix Nights. He's a clairvoyant. That's funny as fuck. It's obviously a piss take. But it's the character. It was Peter Kay and Alex Lowe that came up with the character, and it's a fantastic character. It really makes me laugh. Voiced by the guy behind it is Alex Lowe, and Alex Lowe is also the man behind Barry from Watford. Now, Barry from Watford, I believe when I first heard of him, he used to be a guest that would phone into the Ian Lee radio show, and I used to listen to that on the way back from gigs and I just laugh my socks off. Amazing, really funny. He's also been doing a lot of stuff with Angelos Epithemiou. So they've been gigging together, so you might know Barry from Watford with that. He's a lovely guy, Alex. We had a great chat. We were in the green room of we're in Halifax, I believe. I think it's the old, I can't remember what it was, but it was in Halifax at the gig we did there in the green room an hour before we were due on stage. It was lovely. Again, you know, really open, really warm and lovely. So here we are, Alex Lowe. Mate, good show last night. Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it, yeah. It was amazing to pack the place out.
It was incredible. And what a room. I didn't realise the history until you told me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't realise.
It's City Varieties.
It's
467, sold out.
Amazing.
Lovely, intimate, up close, you know, where they filmed the good old days.
That's it.
just such a warm audience, weren't they? Yeah, great.
This is it. I mean, my job was to warm them up. Yeah. But as soon as I walked out,
yeah,
they were there, and I'm like, you don't need me. So I'm talking myself out of work, but it was, they were bang on straight away.
Yeah, but
so up for it.
You just, for your listeners here, I've got to tell you, this bloke, I was in the dressing room with the show on the relay thinking, he's really good. How am I going to get on after this?
You did brilliant.
Yeah, but, oh, it was great fun. Thank
it
you.
Was really, it was. I,
big laughs, weren't they?
Yeah, I've been laughing all day. what was it? It's Fairing Now. Fairing Now. That really makes me laugh. And Paunting.
A Paunting? Oh, yeah. A Haunting of a Painting. Yeah. A Haunting. Yeah, there's a few of them they really went for. I mean, but unfortunately, a couple of things. The shouting out, I'm not mad on.
Well, I was going to talk to you about that because like you said yesterday, because you didn't do stand up, did you, when you started out? Well, you start off as an actor.
Yeah, I mean, I still think of myself as an actor and sort of comedy character comedy actor, and I've always really wanted to do straight stand up. When I see you guys, honestly, in a dressing room of comedians talking very technically about the art of stand-up. Okay, a lot of it's bullshit, but, but you know, I'm always sort of slightly jealous and I think, well, I'm doing a character. I've still got to write jokes. I've still got to deliver. There's a certain amount of crossover. But there is going to come a time soon where I will stop hiding behind prosthetics or stupid wigs or whatever. Yeah. And I would just really like to apply that craft. I'd love to do that. I mean, but it is a different thing. I mean, it's sort of a different thing. I mean, you are playing a persona when you're up.
Yeah, you're like an amplified version of your true self. Yeah.
But, I'm much more of an actor than I am a stand-up. And, but, you know, by the same token, I meet stand-ups who go, I'd love to do more character stuff.
Yeah,
and everyone wants to do grass to his green.
Absolutely.
And they go, I'd like to be an actor. And it's a, you know, bit of crossover, but it's sort of different.
You've been in some really cool stuff. Like you were in, when I've said this to you many times, you were in Sean Locke's
15 Stories High,
which was when I first became aware of
you.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And now you're in Brassic.
Yes,
you've been in that. You're in Phoenix Nights.
Yeah.
So you've been in some great stuff.
I'm always the bridesmaid, never the bride. but I've often thought I'm having the longest apprenticeship anyone's ever had. I just, you know, it's got marginally easier to earn a living over the last 15 years for me. But I just never leave a stone unturned, you know. And I think what I think I've done, maybe I spread myself too thinly over these, but I've never been wealthy enough not to. You know, I've got a wife and kids. I just, you know, I was sort of, here we go, the old psychology.
Yeah.
You know, I was sort of brought up with that Protestant work ethic.
Yes.
And also, I mean, you're a bit younger than me, but this kind of Thatcherite mantra about if you work hard enough, you'll get your just results. A just reward. That's clearly not true.
Yeah.
But you've got to sort of be in it to win it, and you've got to be putting yourself about.
I think that's it. There's that satisfaction from actually still doing the work. Like you say, it, rather than sitting back and waiting for it to come to you.
Well, it never does.
No. At least you're putting the effort in, so you don't lying around going, oh, you know what I mean? It's...
Well, I always think there are kind of two types of people. There are those, that's an oversimplification, but there are those people who would kind of rather not bother and, you know, face the rejection. They can't be there. But I would think it would be much, much worse to get to 60 and go, I never really tried that. Too late now and it's finished. That would be the worst.
That would be awful.
You go, I've blown it. Whether other people feel like it would be the worst thing to dip your toe in the water, be absolutely mauled and then...
That fear of failure. Yeah. It's a brilliant show.
Yeah, it's a great show, and
the people last night were bent double. They had a great time.
Yeah, I mean,
you go back to the guy chipping in, that one guy that, because he, that was the thing, it wasn't even heckling. He was literally making noises.
And
even, I've been doing this 15 years, and he did it to me when I was on.
I heard that.
He shouted Al Pacino or something like that.
Oh, fucking
and man. Yeah, and you can't do anything with that.
It is difficult that I wish I did, you know, with you guys. I mean, I used to do Jonglers as Barry from Hartford.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And, you know, doing a character act, genres, is not the thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was a different animal.
But you know what? I mean, those are things that no one told me. I've just stumbled from one thing to another. You know, I don't have any particular tradition in anything. I always feel like I'll have a go at that.
I'll just do that.
Yeah, and I was doing, and I remember finishing off at Croydon. I just thought, I can't do it anymore. No. I think, I honestly think, I've got a bit of alopecia here.
Yeah.
And I think that is from doing jobs. It's so stressful. This horrible. And I remember Mickey Hutton.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey
yeah.
Hutton. I was just about to go on. He went, yeah. What are you doing? I said, I'm doing my old man character back in Watford. He said, yeah. Character acts never work at jonglers. Anyway, good luck.
Oh, Jesus. And right before he makes trouble.
But what was I going to say about
but that? But that whole.
Yeah, the heckling.
So the show last night.
Yeah.
That's how you handled it. Even though they say you feel you can't handle it because you've got a script that you stick
yes,
to.
Yes.
Last night you handled it brilliantly because the show, everybody was on your side. When he made that noise, that everyone you could feel everyone going, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's really distracting everyone.
Yeah.
Because also my thing has got a slight play element to it. It's got a bit of a narrative.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same for anyone telling any story.
Yeah.
It's bloody distracting, you know?
And you've got beats you need to get. Yeah, you've got tricks you need to get to.
That's it. And if so, it holds it up.
Yeah.
Also, it's only about the sixth time I've done the show, so if someone throws me, I'm like, oh god, where's this course. Bit in the show?
Yeah. Yeah, you need to say something like, oh, the spirits are strong in this one, too strong, something like that.
Yeah.
But then you know, you've got it mapped out in your head.
Yeah.
You haven't mapped in some twat, some piss twat shouting out.
No, that's
and
right.
And so it. Like you say, you've got the show. You want to do the show. People have come to see the show. I want to give you the show you've paid for.
I think in terms of sounding like I'm being spontaneous with the audience, I do go into the audience and speak to them.
Mm.
They don't know that everything I say, I've said a million times. Yeah. It sounds like I'm being particular. Yeah,
but that's a skill. That's a skill to make it sound like you're just winging it.
That's because I'm an actor, not, you know. But, so I'm so delighted because I've been so nervous about it. You know, Phil McIntyre very kindly took me on tour. They're quite a big league production company. And, you know, first it was like, is Peter Kay going to agree to you doing this tour? And he's been just great, you know.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so it's sort of Peter's character.
Right.
And Neil Fitzmaurice is... He came up with the name. So I checked with those two and they've been absolutely fine about it. And so gradually it was like, you know, are we going to be able to sell? Is anyone really going to come to this thing? And the bloody ticket sales are through the roof. And it's gone on till March. It's going extended to March
Incredible.
Next year. And it might go on after Easter. But it's always the same thing, you know, where I mean, my poor wife, I'm a real fretter and worrying about this thing. I feel like... being an actor and being kind of, you know, creating your own work, you have to make certain sacrifices in your life.
Absolutely,
it is a bit of a vocation. I don't think you can play at these things.
No, probably.
So it's bloody important to you. You know, it's like there's a lot hinging on it. Plus, I've got a wife and kids. I've got a mortgage and all that.
Of course,
And so I've been really feeling under the cosh about it. And always these ticket sales come through from Phil McIntyre. My first reaction is, bloody hell, that's good. And a second later, oh, shit, I've still got to do it. I've got to do the bloody thing.
It'd be nice just to get the money and not go.
But thankfully, I'm so, so pleased that it's going so well.
It's brilliant. Yeah, I'm really pleased to see it.
Ah, good lad.
It's so good. It's so good. But it's what people want.
Yeah,
they
you're
want
right.
To have a laugh.
Escapism.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, I am a bit down, pessimistic about all that stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think we all are. I think there'd be something wrong with you if you weren't worried.
Yeah, that is kind of frightening. I suppose the great thing is that, I don't know whether this is true either, but you and I can still just keep going out and doing live.
Yeah.
And that was something I've always thought as an actor, you know, spent many, many years getting a few crumbs from the table of my you know, betters. And it's only in recent years kind of... I mean, I used to do it with Barry quite a lot, but mostly with Clinton. I've just been confident to go out and hit the circuit and do gigs.
Well, there's more you can do more with Clinton.
Yeah.
I love Barry.
Yeah,
Clinton. Barry from Watford is a guy that phones into radio shows.
That's it.
You know,
But going out with Clinton, it is a kind of spectacle. He's kind of larger than life. So it is a real relief to know that if nothing else is happening, I just get some gigs.
Yeah.
Hopefully. that's not to belittle doing gigs.
No, of course not.
You know,
no, no,
but, so yeah, I'm a bit worried about that. I'm worried about the environment. It shits me up quite a lot.
I was talking about this just before I came out.
Yeah.
And there are people are now having there is eco anxiety, where people are actually
and again
you'd be mad not to be affected by it all.
Yeah, yeah.
What annoys me is that we've been told for years, ever since we were kids, ever since before we were kids, buy this, do that. If you buy this thing, this will enhance your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And buy this and eat that and do this and do that. And now we're getting told, oh yeah, you probably shouldn't have bought all that because now you fuck the planet. You go, I was just going along with what you said. But it's the same people that told us to buy the stuff that are now telling us we're the ones that are. That it's always us that takes the blame.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, that does run. I remember going, that probably when I just started going out with my wife in about 1993 or four, going to Tesco Extra in Watford, near where I live. And I don't know where I'd been. I mean, I was a sort of student before then and I was in Leicester, going to sort of Indian shops, you know, on the Narborough Road, little kind of family run things. And I found myself there. And this is all that time ago thinking, God, the colour of those carrots, you know, bright orange, that it's, you know, it's and people right, buy this up and this doesn't look right. And there's all this, something occurred to me the first time in my life as quite a young man, all this endless bloody variety of stuff. I just thought then this is unsustainable. It's unsustainable. It clearly is, you know.
Well, this is it. And the fact that these companies go, like, every year there's a new iPhone or there's a new this. You
know,
go,
yeah, I know.
It wasn't like that when I was a kid. And I don't want to sound like an old man, but like, you had a television.
I know.
And then that lasted you until it broke. But now it's like, now we've updated it. Now you've got to get this phone, you've got to get this.
It does make me very, I mean, the thing that worries me, they're always talking about, you know, we're going to go up by 1 degree over the next 10 years or something. And people think, can we avoid that? And I'm thinking, well, even if we limit it to 1 degree or whatever, well, who's to say that it's not going to go up further? What happens after 10 years?
Yeah.
You know, in 50 years, is it going to be 5 degrees hotter? Because that's a disaster.
Yeah. But the thing is, what's happening is, we're the planet is an organism of its own and it will just shrug us off.
So
what we're actually doing is just destroying ourselves. We're destroying our own ecosystem.
Yeah, that's right.
It's damaging the planet, but then the planet will rebuild itself and heal.
Yeah.
We just won't be here. So,
of course.
You know.
So, I know.
You know, it's... But then you need, you know, but then to do what we do, we need a car, you know. I've done it on public transport and it's...
Hellish.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course.
Sleeping in Nottingham bus station at 4 a.m.
I mean, also, look, you know, I've got my cards here tonight where people write suggestions on. Most of them I throw away because the suggestions are so terrible.
Oh, really?
I've started thinking, what a waste. That's a nice printed card. You know, God knows that was a tree. It goes straight in the bin. Nine times out of ten, someone's written Jimmy Savile on it. They want me to come to.
Oh, God.
Or whatever. So, yeah, that I'm sort of pessimistic about that. And similarly, I can't stand the sort... There seems to be a kind of... This is an oversimplification, but there's the kind of like-minded people I like. The divide seems to be getting...
Yeah.
And it's almost... I might be wrong about this. It's almost the same people who are arguing for Brexit.
Yes.
Are the people who are telling you, with a similar sort of right-wing hat on, that Greta Thunberg, she's a puppet.
Yeah, she's a puppet.
Well, even if she is a puppet, for who? I mean...
But even she says, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be... Because there are people saying, she's a child, she should be having a child's life. And they're going, she's even said, it shouldn't be me. It shouldn't be me that's doing this.
I'm thinking of voting Green. I think that is... I don't know what else to do. I can't think of a more important thing.
Well, this is it. There isn't anybody else that you feel it would be capable to lead the ship, to drive the ship.
That's right.
It's knackered.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody.
But the you know, the cynicism, there's a lot of kind of, there'll be a lot of cynical people listening to this now who are going, you sort of couple of naive, Ponzi performer types, what do you know about the real world? But actually, you know, what do you need to know? I think sometimes being naive and seeing it through simplistic eyes is... You know, I think that's a benefit in a way.
Yeah,
otherwise,
absolutely,
you can argue yourself around every argument going.
Yeah.
Why not just have a feeling clearly there's something wrong? I mean, I'm literally, we're now, this is being recorded like, well, it's coming up to, it's early October, it's the first week of October. But until a couple of days ago, I was hot at night. I was sweating.
Same.
No heating on, windows open.
Yeah.
What, late September, early October? I'm going, everyone's going, oh yeah, it's quite nice in an Indian summer. Really? What, sweating at night?
You know. But then there's the other side of it is that it does make me laugh when people say, oh, it's freezing in June. And you go, yeah, well, again, the planet as well. I mean, we have damaged it. I'm not saying we haven't, but the planet also is its own thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it probably, you know, this again probably sounds really naive, but just because we're like, which doesn't normally do this in October, it might be a planetary thing. It might just, you know, it feels like the seasons have shifted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It gets colder. It'd be colder in sort of January, February.
Yeah.
Later on, whereas before we've had it right. Those 4 months, they're the cold ones, and then they're the wet ones, and then they're the
yeah.
It seems to have moved along, but I don't know if that's us or
well, whatever. That doesn't sound great to me. No. I don't think that's
no.
That whatever that is doing will have some effect.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's a bit of a worry of mine. I'm also worried my bloody hair is falling out. more than that. Never mind the ice caps.
So are you quite a glass half empty? It depends on what mood you're in.
Do you know what? Am I? I think, you know, I'm probably quite naive. I've never really done a proper job.
Right,
you know,
okay. I was straight from uni.
I was a child actor,
yeah.
You know, and I was in the West End when I was like 13, and I was in BBC costume drama, Mansfield Park when I was 15. I did these Adrian Mole cassettes.
Oh, yeah.
I was in, you know, Another Country, the play, when it was in the West End. And so, and I went from there to my degree in drama. Thank God, just what the country needs. And then, but you know, I say that, that is a kind of guilt I have. That's my...
Yeah,
my,
you feel like you haven't...
That is my problem. I'm always quite optimistic about what I can do as a performer. I'll get somewhere. But when I mention the kind of Protestant work ethic, my parents are kind of lower middle class, you know. My mum and dad both, you know, the kids were shopkeepers.
Right, yeah.
My mum worked for Harrow Social Services. My dad was a tea taster.
Oh, really?
You know, but, you know, he failed his 11 plus and all that. And they are very, very straight-laced, you know. To this day, it only takes my mum to phone up on, you know, 2:45 on a Tuesday afternoon and say, what are you doing? For me to be sent into, yeah, what am I doing? What am I doing? There are people... you know, doing triple heart bypass surgery or grafting or, I don't know, doing accountancy or whatever it is, like proper. And what am I doing? Well, was it? Yeah, actually, I was just checking Facebook to see what, you know. So I have the most, this is my biggest problem, and I often think I should go and see some cognitive behavioural therapy or, you know.
Just go and talk to someone.
Yeah, I mean, absolute guilt. I mean, I don't leave any stone unturned, honestly. I've got, you know, I've got card range. Well, I've got 3 card ranges in the shops.
Okay.
With, which keep the wolf from the door with royalties.
Yeah.
I'm doing this stand-up. I'm a straight actor. I write for people, do a lot of radio. Can't think of anything else. But, you know, there's all dealing with my wife and kids. I often go to bed feeling guilty that I haven't quite achieved what I wanted to. And that's not me. That's not kind of false modesty and isn't this problem. I don't really want to be like that
to
kind of come up to 52.
Yeah, right.
But it's a really, I mean, it's obvious what it is. It's just a kind of being brought up with this idea that being this performing bullshit, you know, really at some point you're going to have to knuckle down.
And, yeah.
And I still feel like it's, you know, I feel slightly apologetic about.
But you've made choices and you achieved so much. You're just very lucky. You've done. You wanted to do a thing. Not lucky. I don't mean that. I'm not dismissing any work or any effort you've put in. But you went down a path and it worked out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like you said earlier, they either don't go. They don't make the effort. They're scared to make that.
Or they just not
decision.
Had
or they just haven't had the. I mean, I didn't start comedy till I was 32. It didn't even occur to me that I could be a comedian.
What were you doing before?
I've done all sorts.
Yeah, all
sorts of jobs. I had kids when I was 20, so I just kind of had to do anything that came along.
Yeah.
And so it was complete chance that I ended up being a comedian.
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky.
And you
lucky.
Love it.
I absolutely love it.
I know, it's
the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, it's
great. But it could have been so different.
Yeah.
If I hadn't, I was with a girl, I'd broken up with her, and I was working in a funeral director's, and it was in winter as well, and it was really shit, and I just happened to look in the newspaper and see an advert for bar staff at Up the Creek.
Oh, wow.
And people that listen to this, I know I've said this many times, but it was complete chance that I am now sat with you here.
Really?
It's completely, God, that's complete amazing, luck. Yeah, so yeah. I have days where I'm like, oh, you know, all of my stuff stems from money. It's just not having enough money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all it is. Other than that, I have a great life.
Yeah.
And so, you've made choices and decisions.
Yeah.
And you got to where you are now,
yeah.
And you have a very privileged life. You're lucky to do something
very
that
lucky.
You love.
Absolutely right.
And I, you know, and people that are surgeons, they choose to be surgeons, you know. And you know, I mean, there are some people that would rather be elsewhere.
I suppose so. And when I'm, you know, you're on stage and people have paid to see you, and tonight there's gonna be nice lighting and sound, and
they're
all
reliant on you, giving them a good time.
And I love that. I suppose. You just have to sort of keep the faith. That's what I'm talking about. Here, you kind of go, yes, people have bought tickets. But somewhere along the line, getting this show together, you know, going in thinking, oh, I tell you what I need to make this joke work. I'll go into a secondhand shop, see if I can find something that looks like a knob. It's like, you go, come on, man, you're 51
really?
Years old. And, you know, we used to do Barry's Bingo at the 100 Club, looking through endless sort of records for something that's a bit funny, invariably pathetically rude, you know, or making something. Dan Skinner and I, you know, do Angelos and Barry, making a pair of bollocks or something out of some tights.
I saw, yes.
I mean, Dan, like you, he doesn't have a problem with that. He goes, great, I bring it on. I'm delighted I'm not doing. He doesn't seem to feel any guilt at all. I'm a bit like, you know, this is just babyish.
Has he worked before, Dan?
Do you know, that's exactly right. He didn't do very well at school, Dan.
Right.
Although he went to private school.
Yeah.
I think it was a disaster. He said to me now, what he put his parents through was hell.
Yeah.
He just was like, I think he won't mind me talking for him, but
he's been on already. He did his episode
weeks ago. He was saying about, I think his dad was an entrepreneur, and he said when he was at school, he was thinking, well, I'll just go and work with my dad. What's all this?
Yeah, this is
waste
pointless.
Time.
Yeah.
And then I think he was a cycle courier.
That's one. Yeah.
Which was utterly miserable, and he was getting drenched and he was exhausted. And then he sort of fell into the acting thing and it took off for him. And he doesn't have he doesn't have any qualms about it. Now he's thinking, bloody hell, I don't want to go back
I think that's what it is. It's that having done those shit jobs and worked for shit people, I'm in this wonderful place. Yeah, exactly that. I don't want to go back to that.
I don't want to go back
to driving a bus. No disrespect to any bus drivers.
No. No, that's right. I mean, I've never really done anything else. I worked in my mate's leather jacket warehouse, and then I got a film, so I stopped.
There you go. You've had a great life.
Yeah, I've had many close shaves where things that were, you know, I can name. I did this film, Haunted. I used to be Kenneth Branagh's stand-in.
Okay.
So I did a lot with Kenneth Branagh's company. I was in Peter's Friends.
Yeah.
And Much Ado About Nothing.
Wow.
And so they'd give me parts in these things.
Yeah.
But I'd also be there for the whole thing.
Incredible.
Standing in for Branagh. So I lived with Brian Blessed.
No way.
Yeah, when we did Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Yeah,
I
played the messenger who comes at the start and says, Don Pedro is coming. And then I arrested Keanu Reeves at the end. But, you know, I was living with Brian Blessed for 6 weeks in Italy, because I was there for the whole thing, standing in for Branagh. I can't remember how I was going to say. Yeah, so I was doing all that stuff. How did I get onto that? And I did Peter's Friends.
You're talking about near misses with.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I did like 4 feature films in my first 4 years of being an actor. And then it sort of went dead. And then I got this other film, Haunted, which was going to be something, and it just died a death. I did a pilot with Steve Coogan and Justin Theroux for HBO.
Oh, wow.
Which was supposed to be the precursor to Tropic Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought this is a shoo-in. It's produced by Ben Thingy. Ben
Stiller.
Stiller.
Yeah.
I thought this is a shoo-in. This is going to be it. Didn't happen. I did Cheap, Cheap, Cheap with Noel Edmonds for Channel 4. Which came and went 30 hours of television that
it was
on Channel 4 that no one seems to have seen. I can name many, many. The Peter Serafinowicz show, I remember. Oh, yeah. I was in that, and that was going to be a big hit, and it just came and went.
That's right.
I remember at the time we were talking about, look, do we want to go on tour with Phil Mack, actually?
Yeah.
There have been so many times that something's about to happen, and it sort of just hasn't. Yeah. I'm kind of nearly there all the time.
So you don't get excited just in case?
No, I mean, I'm really, I probably, to answer your question, I'm probably slightly glass half full because I've just had so many near misses. But I've never really done anything else. But
no.
I don't stop. And it's a bit of a bore for my wife because I just try and work all the time. I can't bear the thought of... I feel so privileged. I think the thing is, I feel so privileged to do it. The thought that I'm not really going for it makes me feel like, yeah, come on, Alex, you're playing at this. Go and do something else.
You know, it's funny you say that. My poor ex-wife, because she wasn't in the industry, so I was never there. I was always out gigging. If I wasn't gigging, I was thinking about gigging and comedy, and it was all geared towards comedy. And to the point, she just said, I can't. This is, you know, because then when I wasn't gigging, I'd be the worst person to be around.
Mate,
it was horrible. But now I'm with someone who is not only in the business, she's actually going places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because of that, I don't feel I can sit back and just...
No.
I have to put as much effort in
as
she is, because I have to try and keep up.
Yeah,
I don't want to feel like a total loser around her.
Right,
you know?
So it
fires me up to put the effort in. So I'm very lucky in that respect.
What's it like that? Because I've never had a girlfriend who was an actor or a performer. My wife has a very low embarrassment threshold. I've been doing the play, the sitcom Claire and the Community on Radio 4 for 15 years. My wife has been to precisely zero of those recordings. I have watched people's kids grow up. I've seen, honestly, I can name marriages in that company that have come and gone.
Yeah.
I've seen pregnancies come and go, and every time it comes to it, Alex, have you got anyone who wants to come in tonight, you know, for the... No, not tonight, 15 years. What's it like? I mean, you say about keeping up. I mean, it's kind of a good thing, but do you find yourselves going, why don't we stop talking about comedy for a bit?
No, I think we're both very happy to talk about it. I think it helps as well, because with Jade, I mean, her star is very much in the ascendance, and so it's nice for her to come back and talk to me about it.
Yeah.
And get, you know, release some pressure with her. And there isn't any, like, people say this all the time, well, aren't you jealous, Rich? I'm like, no, not at all.
No.
I'm getting to do amazing things off the back of Jade's success.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't knock that.
But also, if you love someone.
And I love it, and I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
So people can't understand why there isn't, because I didn't get into this to be famous. Fame is like a byproduct of what I want to be. I'd love to be known and well known, which is a brilliant comedian. But that, to be famous, isn't something I've ever strived for.
No.
If it happens, it would happen, but not.
Yeah.
It isn't. I don't lay awake at night going, oh yeah, everyone knows who Jade is, but I don't know. I'm the second after Jade Adams. The next thing, the most Googled thing, is Jade Adams' partner.
Really? Yeah, well, you know.
So I'm happy with that.
Thank you so much for coming down. Really appreciate it. Insane in the Membrane podcast.
This Sunday, the 8th of December, join us for Insane in the Membrane live from the Pleasance Theatre Islington with Rich Wilson.
I've been a comedian for 15 years. It's going all right. Although I was scrabbling around my car yesterday trying to find 60p for a tin of beans, so...
And very special guest, star of Uncle and The Reluctant Landlord.
Good evening, cocksuckers!
The brilliant Nick Helm.
And gentlemen!
Tickets are just a fiver. It's nothing. It's the price of a pint. And you can buy one of those too. Sunday, 7:30 p.m. at the Pleasance Theatre, Islington.
I found that through humour, people open up and we have a laugh, and I really appreciate you coming down and doing this. This is the first live one.
Click the link in the show description for this episode on your podcast app.
We can have a laugh while we do it. I think that's what I'm trying to show with the podcast.
And while you're there, please vote for us at the Pod Bible Poll Winners Awards. Both links are in the description, or go to pleasance.co.uk or podbiblemag.com respectively.
You did great, Rich.
Thanks, Bob.
You did great.
Thank you.
We'll see you on Sunday the 8th of December, unless, of course, it's after Sunday the 8th of December, in which case you've missed it, and you'll have to wait till February.
What do we do now?
I don't know. I think that's it. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Insane in the Membrane.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What I really like is, you know, people do get in touch with me and they go, I like what you do and all that. Mm. But the truth is, I have, since starting doing this Clinton thing, this tour, and I can show you, there are three people who have started hounding me.
Oh, right.
And I've never, you know, people don't really know who I am, but for some reason, these people on Facebook, social media do. And I think it's to do with this Clinton thing. I don't know whether they like the idea of this sort of camp, you know, I don't know, spiritual bloke, but for some reason it's attracted them. One of them is, hey, I won't say, but they're one of them, it's slightly giving me the creeps.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I do know, you know, we both know, hang around with people who are quite well known and you hear stuff going on. I don't think I want that particularly. And I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I said, it's not lovely when people come up to you and say, aren't you? Quite often people come up to me and say, I'm getting the word nonce. And I think, what a lovely catchphrase to have. Honestly, and I go to football. People see me at football. But my favourite thing is if anyone does know my work, strangers, and they come up.
Yeah.
If it's in front of my son, my teenage son,
it's
a bit of a chance to go, yeah, you thought you were old there. We don't know. Did you hear that?
See,
they know who I am. But he obviously couldn't care less. Typical teenager.
Same. My boys are pleased and proud, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not...
No.
They're not asked.
But I mean, I was going to say, we know various famous people who have had to deal with certain things.
Yeah.
Stuff I've heard about over the years. And I... wouldn't want that.
No.
And my wife certainly wouldn't want that, or my kids.
No.
My daughter is just, she's in this huge Netflix series.
Okay.
And she basically joined my acting agent, went for a couple of auditions. And I was going, my wife said, couldn't she join your acting agent? I was like, you're not going to take her on. It's for people like me. Sure enough, she's in this bloody series. The Alienist for Netflix.
Oh,
and she's
yeah.
a regular in this now for season two.
Brilliant.
That's her
brilliant.
First job. I mean,
I've
never seen her do any acting in my life. And she's off doing this. So I'm kind of pleased that in a way she's grown up with me and she sees me with my head in my hands, not working or, you know, nearly getting a part and being absolutely distraught by it. So she's under no illusion. She doesn't wander around like she's auditioning for the X Factor. I mean, it's my dream. Like, who cares if it's your dream, you know? And she's sort of a singer as well, and she used to come and sing at my 100 Club gig. And I'd always say to her, there's one thing I've instilled in her, which is something my parents could never do, is I go, look, the people that they paid, right, they don't care if, you're in the dressing room, it's my dream, oh God, good luck, I hope this goes well. I just go, look, you know, they paid. Don't make it look like you've won a competition to be out there.
No.
Go and do the thing.
Yeah.
So when I'm a bit self-indulgent with you in this dressing room and I'm shitting myself about tonight, part of you goes, mate, this is supposed to be what you're doing for a living.
Yeah.
So stop being a wuss about it and go and do it, you know?
Yeah, but you are allowed to be a bit, you know, apprehensive. Because it's not, someone said to me a little while ago, do you get nervous? And I'm like, it isn't nerves. Because I've been doing it long enough to know I can do it.
Yes.
It's just apprehension. You go, oh, is this going to be the night where
I
get stared at? Oh. I think it's that. That's the fear I have, but I don't worry that I'm not funny or can't do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a story I've told a couple of times now. You know the guy who chased after me in Winchester?
No.
Fucking hell. You talk about someone staring at you and just having a horrible evening. Of course, the other thing is, when you have a really good gig, the one person you remember is the person who looked utterly miserable.
Exactly.
That's the one person you're thinking, why did they hate it so much?
Yeah, every time.
They're not even not enjoying
they're
it.
Elsewhere.
They just choose not to be... I mean, I'm not a big one for throwing my head back and laughing at gigs. But I went down to Winchester to the King's School, and my new agent, Paul Baker, said, come down, I've got a gig in there. PTA, there must have been 500 people there.
Yeah.
Around these tables, a massive school. I was on with James Gill and Mike Cox.
Brilliant, yeah.
And another fellow's name, forgive me, I can't remember his name. But I was headlining as Clinton, which is a bit of a risk in just a straight stand-up evening.
Yeah.
But it was with my new agent, and he'd never seen me do my full act. So I thought, it's got to be good, this. Anyway, I went down there, and this is partly probably why I'm apprehensive now.
Right, okay.
So I get on there, and before I went on, I said to Paul Baker, look, they're quite a posh, well-to-do PTA, Parent Teachers Association audience in Winchester. It's all quite posh. I might go easy on the old swearing and all that stuff. Right. And James Gill went, no, don't. I promise you. Someone's just used the C word out there. I promise you. It's fine. And Paul went, no, just play your normal game.
Yeah.
And then James Gill went, look into my eyes. I'm telling you, it's fine. Do your normal act. I went, all right. You can see where this is going. So I went out.
James is listening. Nice one, mate.
So I went out there and started doing things, going very well. And this guy shouts out, Jacko, like, a bit like you, just out of the blue. And I think the inference was, can you contact Michael Jackson from beyond the thing? Now, if someone does that right close to the stage, you can't ignore that. And it's quite early on. So I said, it's another old line. It's not a fucking quiz. All right, I'll come to you in a minute, right? It was like, ooh, he's going to come and sort him out. So I did a bit of stuff, went up to him. And fresh in my mind was a bit I always do. I went up and said, who said that? Who was asking Michael Jackson? These tables, kind of people shuffling, parted. There was a guy there. So I said, what's your name, mate? And he said, Pascal, he was French. I went, someone called Dave says you're a cop. So big laugh, followed by, I heard a sort of sharp intake of breath, and I thought, I don't know whether he took that very well. I thought it might be my imagination. Carry on, did the thing, got up on the stage. And then I do a bit where I say, there is nothing extraordinary about what I do. It's the fact that in any group of people, 78% will have extraordinary brain skills. Speaking of Pascal just now, I might have to revise that down a little bit, which is just a kind of lovely, harmless, silly joke.
Yeah.
And it was that tipped him over the edge. And he starts shouting in French.
Right.
And it's all faire en couleur, I sort of know it's like proper swear.
Not nice.
And so I sort of tried to, I thought, oh shit. And I immediately was blaming myself, going, he's French. You know, it kind of knock about English culture, you call someone a cat. It's not nice, but it's a kind of currency of the comedy. But this geezer, I think, French, he really, you called me what? He couldn't get over it. So immediately people are shouting to him to shut up. And I'm thinking, no, I should not have said that to a French guy. I didn't know he was French. So I just ventured. No, to be honest, ladies, I'm still in character. Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, don't have a go. I think there is a difference in culture. I haven't got any. You clearly have. Carries on shouting. Thinking, I've done my best to acknowledge that there's a difference in culture. Still shouting. So people are going, shut up to him and all that. His wife's going, please sit down to him. I'm thinking, oh God, this is really getting nasty. So then I said, I don't speak French, Pascal, but somebody's telling me you're not very happy, right? And he's going, all this stuff.
Right.
So I thought, I was really thinking, what am I going to do? I can't compete
with
that.
Yeah, you're stuck.
So I just said, look, honestly, Pascal, I've apologised twice now. I honestly don't know what else I can do. So what can I do? Because I can't compete with you. And then I just said, ladies and gentlemen, I can't really compete with that. I'm very sorry. I'm just going to have to stop.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, I hope you... I mean, I just... What can you do?
No, yeah, someone's shouting. Get past it, yeah.
So I just said... So that's the sort of thing. If I was really a really good club comic who can do that, I might have shut him up or I might have reasoned with him and been with him. I just...
But you're stuck in the character
as
well.
I mean, the
that's
character.
The other thing as well.
Part
of
me just wants to go, all right, to be fair, mate,
yeah.
I do apologise, you're French, whatever. But you've got to keep up this sort of pretense. So I just said, I've only done about 10 minutes. So I just said, I'm going to have to call it a day there. I hope you earn lots of money for the BTA. Good night. And as I left, to my horror, I looked round. He's got up out of his chair, following me across the stage to like a chorus of 500 people booing him. And my initial instinct was, oh, look, this is a comedy show. I can surely argue my way out of this. And so I thought, do you know what? I'm going to start running. Because if 500 people of his contemporaries... And that he was a parent.
Yeah.
If he's not going to listen to them, I'm not going to.
No,
he's already shouted
to
me. Yeah. So I thought, you know what? And I turned.
So I just sprinted
down this corridor with my blonde locks, carrying my bejeweled bag. My agent was there, and I was going, "He's coming! He's coming! He's coming!" And James Gill comes out the toilet, going, "Shit! There's no one on stage. What are you doing?" I sprinted past him, and as is the way with these things. Everywhere now, I know I sound like an old grunter now. Every door has got a bloody digital code to get in.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So I'm going, so
you're just
my God, I can't get into any door. And I had to hide behind a filing cabinet in this corridor, and I hear this bloke coming down. And Paul Baker and James, heroes, literally had to rugby tackle him.
No.
And he's going, where is he, and all this. And at the time, I was sort of behind this filing cabinet. I said, shit, take the wig off. I've just taken my disguise off.
No, you went that way.
Yeah, and I was thinking, at the time I was sort of laughing. This is so ridiculous. Anyway, I got back to the dressing room. There's a security woman there going, he is outside waiting for you.
No.
He wants to come in to apologise. My agent's going, no. That's not an apology. And this woman's going, do you want to wait for everyone to go? I said, no, I don't. No. I don't want to go out to the car, which is 5 minutes down the road, and this geezer is waiting for me.
On your own.
So I shoved all my stuff in my case. Someone took my case. They gave me a box of Quality Street, so it looked like I was a parent who'd won it on the road.
Brilliant.
I get outside, and it reminded me of being 18-year-old. You know, with that sort of, with your mates. Don't look now. Someone's screwing us out.
Oh,
yeah.
At
the bar, you know, that horror. Oh, God. Someone's screwing it out. He's screwing us out, that bloke. Right, drink up. We're going to get... It was like that.
Yeah.
He's just over there. Just keep walking. He's just... I said, I don't need this at 51.
Shit.
So I got in the car. I sped off down the road. And I parked in this... I've gone about a mile. I don't know where I was.
Yeah.
And I phoned my wife. And I'm sort of laughing. 2 days later, I was like... I couldn't get it out of my head. I had PTSD.
Well, of course.
I was thinking, the bloke was going to kill me.
Yeah.
So when you say someone staring at you, that's absolutely one of my fears now.
Of course. Yeah.
And particularly doing this...
When you're getting into it, like yesterday, because you did that. You did that line.
Yeah.
When you're in the audience.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there trepidation?
Yeah,
there?
I do move away from people.
Yeah.
But then the difference is with this show, people have seen the TV show... They sort of know what I do. He's a kind of undiplomatic, stupid act who's just, I mean, I come on with a plaster over my eye with a bruise.
I
imagine most of the audience have seen Phoenix Nights. They know what the character is. I get smacked in the face in the show.
Right, okay.
But it was almost, and actually, like 2 weeks after that, do you know Comedy Hotspot?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Jim Howard,
Beg your pardon. He got me a gig. He does all these RAF gigs and a lot of military gigs.
He used
to be in the Navy. So we did one at RAF Waddington. There was a girl there, and I'm just doing something. This was not long after this geezer. So I'm like, now your name is Joanna, isn't it? Joanne, Joe, Joan, Diane, Eileen. Not of hilarity. So I'm pointing to this girl in the audience. What's your name, love? Won't answer. What's your name? Well, just tell us what your name is. What's your name? Nothing. Starts crying.
No.
So I'm thinking, God, So then she's looking upset. She gets up and walks out. And I'm thinking, I mean, I don't want to upset anyone. It's
no,
a comedy gig.
Yeah.
And with that, her squaddy boyfriend.
Oh, no.
He gets up. I'm thinking, he's going to come back in a minute and smack me in the mouth. So I quickly finish, I'm round that up. Fucked off. But so I'm a little bit I'm a bit of a coward. I've never really been in a scrap in my life.
But people are more, there is a, people are more...
professionally upset.
I had a bloke in Bristol and he had his back to the stage.
Yeah.
They were sort of sitting on this long table and he had a big leather jacket with a load of blokes. And I just, I said, mate, you're going to turn around? You're going to turn around at all? You know, and he didn't even look at me. He leant over to his mate. And I heard him say, he went, tell him to fuck off. I'm going to punch him in the head.
Oh, nice.
And no one else really heard it. And I went, you say you're going to punch me in the head? And of course, the whole room went, whoa. And I couldn't win it back. And I literally hadn't done anything to him.
What, you couldn't win it back with the audience because they thought you was being hostile?
Well, I wasn't. I was just saying to the guy. But because of that, it ruined the energy of the room.
Yeah, of course.
Because they were like, shit, this might kick off.
Oh, God.
And then there's the security guards. The club's not there anymore because the bloke who used to run it was an arsehole. No, this was something else. And the security were outside. They weren't even in the room. Oh. It was just, yeah. So, yeah, you have to be careful. You do have to be careful.
Yeah, that is a sort of worry. I don't really like that. I really like... You know, honestly, I'm used to being in plays. Nice audience coming. The curtain's open.
Yeah.
There's maybe a veranda on the set. Someone with a...
like a Venetian...
that's right, cigarette holder. Some nice velvet curtains. You know, that's what I like. I like it nice and comfortable. I mean, what I find increasingly nowadays is that there's not a tradition of live performance that people understand. So you get people talking and you want to go... This isn't television. I'm a human being.
That's right, yeah.
I'm about 15 foot away from you. Everyone can hear you. What do you... Are
what
you
are
stupid?
You doing? Yeah.
I mean, if you get the same thing, and this sounds very snobby, but in the West End, you know, a lot of those musicals, and that's fine. Anyone can go into the West End. But there's a lot of people who wouldn't normally go, who are going to... God, this sounds awful.
No,
but are going to populist Mamma Mia, whatever it is, taking their sweets, eating, munching, talking, booing, shouting, going for a piss.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you not understand? It's not recorded. It's live.
This is a real thing that's
happening.
And
that's why it's exciting. It's literally there. But it does require a little bit of respect from you.
Yes, right. But that's it. Those, like you say, those populist ones.
Yeah.
I mean, there are... I was saying this to Jade the other day. I was like... Whenever loads of people say this is brilliant, I'm always sceptical.
Because
the majority of people are very... this sounds terrible.
Like stuff that you think
they
shit.
Like kind of basic.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and I know that sounds terrible.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. So things like Mamma Mia, I've never seen the live show.
No.
But both films I've been dragged to see.
Yeah.
And they are the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The second one's atrocious.
Yeah, no, and I've never seen any of that.
No, don't ruin your life.
No.
But all your characters are... Sorry, I've interrupted
you. No,
but your characters, they're not antagonistic.
No.
But Clinton isn't. Clinton's fun.
No,
he's an idiot, like you say. And then you've got Barry as well.
I mean, I like them to have a little bit of a punch, but you know that underneath it, they're nice.
Yeah, they're Barry's lovely.
Yes, nice old Cockney. He's a based on all my lot from South East London, you know.
And so, you know, they're. I like to think that they're kind. They, you know, people know that I'm pushing the envelope a little bit, but I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to be nasty. I'm not going to...
No.
You know, I'm not Jerry Sadowitz.
I used to love driving back from gigs and having Ian Lee's radio show on.
Yeah.
And it used to just make me laugh. So I didn't realise that there were characters after time.
I mean, I think some of them are real.
Some of them are real, yeah.
But I do loads for him still. I do Joseph Lavens, Professor Joseph Lavens, who's the UFO bloke.
Right.
And then I did Clinton the other day, and I used to do all sorts of characters for Christian O'Connell's show.
Okay.
I used to do Roy Hodgson and Judy Murray and Andy Murray. And so I've done a lot of that. But honestly, the truth is about that. If you are an egomaniac or you have a kind of... And I know this sounds pretentious, but if you have that kind of desire to perform, I always like to think of it as like Peter Cook. He used to phone up Clive Bull on LBC.
Right, okay.
And be Sven the Norwegian fisherman. And now he doesn't have to do that.
No, he just wanted to.
Joy out of it.
Yeah.
And I think if you are that type of person, wouldn't it be funny if I phoned up Ian and did a funny character? You know, when doing these shows, you know, really, okay, you want to earn money from ticket sales, but the first thing I think of is, oh, a nice full room.
Yes.
You know, when
in a wonderful venue as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just think, you know, and that's, and actually Phil McIntyre in a meeting with me the other day said something about, I mean, he must take me for a bit of a mug, but he said something about, I know what you want. You want a full room regardless of the money and how much money you make. I think we were talking about expenses.
Okay.
And he said, I know what you really are after. All money aside and expenses aside, because I was sort of saying, you know, how much we're going to spend on the car or how much we're going to spend on accommodation.
Yeah.
He said, what you really want when you visit this show is a nice full room.
Yeah.
And I've got to earn some money. But you know what I mean? The thing makes you jump out of bed is the thought of a nice big audience, bringing the house down.
And they've come to see you.
Of course. It's
which is what fantastic. We want.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose that drilling down is some terrible childhood.
of course there is. There's it some must shit be, gone on somewhere.
It must be. I think quite often with my mum and dad, there is that sense of they were very glass half full.
Right.
You know, very sort of keep your feet on the ground,
yes,
sort of English thing.
Yeah.
Which is really tiresome after a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah. Well, my dad was always keep your head down. Don't make a fuss.
Yeah.
Don't get involved.
Yeah.
And that used to just put my back up so much. I was like, no, I want to say something, Dad.
Oh, really?
I want to rise up. I want to do something.
Yeah, really? You
know? Yeah. So I think maybe that's where this comes from.
I think so, yeah. But I mean, they're not... My dad was a semi-professional jazz saxophonist.
Brilliant.
But he used to work in the tea industry during the day. But, you know, this was in the 50s, and there was a rise of that bebop jazz thing. And he used to go out and play, and God, play with... They were all playing, you know, improvising.
Yeah,
and then, you know, he'd be in the Harry Klein big band. And then it'd all be like a whole brass section that no one had any music. They were just...
just doing it.
Yeah. And so, you know, he had that sort of performance thing, which is partly where it comes from. But I don't think he ever would have, you know, struck out and done it as a full-time thing.
He was just happy doing it on the side.
Yeah, he was obsessed with jazz, but it was mostly sort of dance band stuff before discos came out, and everyone replaced his band with some shitty rope-like disco. But very, very straight-laced background. But the one thing I'm very chippy about as a result, you, is the Oxbridge thing.
Yeah.
I constantly feel that there is a glass ceiling for me and people of my class. And I know I sound like I'm nicely middle class, but I didn't go to a fee-paying school.
No, me.
I was just, you know, my parents sort of paid for my drama lessons and stuff. Great, very supportive.
Yes.
I wouldn't want anyone to think they were very supportive, but it was not their thing at all. And increasingly, you know, I've always felt like, you know, I've worked in every bloody Radio 4 comedy.
Yeah.
I've done so many things. And when I hear about some of these Oxbridge people who come out and waltz into a comedy sketch show.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was 46 when I got my Barry from Watford Radio 4 series.
Okay.
I'd been knocking on the door for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fatal Attraction in the West End a few years ago.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, I won't mention any names, but there was someone who was working on the production, and he was talking about his dad, who was the head of drama at a very posh school in London. And he just happened to mention that these kids, by way of their end-of-term school production, were at St James's Theatre in the West End.
What?
Now, from 1982, when I was in another country, to 2014, when I was in Fatal Attraction, I've been trying to get into the West End to perform.
Yeah.
These kids do it as a matter of... they get given that.
Yes.
And now, if you have that behind you, you think, well, I've actually been on the West End stage.
So I don't need to strive for it.
And you turn up for auditions, say you want to be an actor. Well, I've already done that. You come with a certain knowledge.
Yeah.
You're not shitting yourself about the whole thing. And the more I hear about these kind of opportunities and all that, I'm not sure I'm entirely in the Corbyn camp of let's raise them all to the ground or include them in. Maybe they should, I don't know. But I'm very chippy. I'm very aware that me and I can name another number of other people who've just been knocking on the door and have done everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've never quite offered it because we're not quite Oxbridge crowd.
Exactly. That snobbery.
It's actually alive and kicking in this country.
It is, yeah.
You know, class in this country is alive and kicking.
Yeah. I was thinking this on the way in, actually. It is. The middle classes have they're in charge of it all.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll let one or two of us in.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of it, you kind of go, no. Like, I get all the time, well, we've already got Mickey Flanagan. So why? what would we do with you? And you're like, yeah. What? Because I sound like him.
Yeah,
I know. It's not bitter. It's just frustration because you're like, I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
You're brilliant at what you do. So give us a go.
I tell you what I think slightly is that maybe it's just human nature that I've tried to help out a couple of people in my own small way who are at Leicester bloody Polytechnic with me. It ain't Cambridge. And, you know, people I know, I've heard of an audition, I might say, look, you know, I went up for this today, you might be quite good, or
brilliant.
I can't do it. You know, in my small way and amongst my contemporaries.
Yes.
But maybe it's just so happens that it's not a great sort of secret that we all went to Oxford or Cambridge.
Mm.
Let's get you in. It's just those were the people you mixed with.
It
just so happens you were in those top positions.
That's right. Yeah.
But I don't know what you do about that. But it's all the time. But the top people you meet are in from bloody Oxford or Cambridge.
Well, we're talking about that. Jade was talking about this actually to a friend of hers who's now, her star was on the ascendance.
Yeah.
And she was saying to her, she was like, you know, yes, there's a lot of talk about diversity and getting people from different ethnicities in, but they're not going to the black circuit to get those people. Yeah. They're getting a white middle class version of what they're accepting of a black person. And you're like,
God, I know.
What are you? This is bollocks. This is because white people are still in charge.
Yeah.
Of that, it's like, and it's, you know, they go, oh yeah, we're gonna allow you through. Yeah, you tick all the boxes. There you are. That's so you can have a go. And it's bullshit. It's Look, such bullshit.
Trust me. This is a whole... My wife is mixed race.
All right.
She's half Somali, half Scottish.
Yeah.
And she, trust me, she hears racism from all sides.
I can imagine,
And she is she's in a very strange position. She'd hate me to even be talking about this now. It's all the kind of different racism exists everywhere.
Mm.
And she says she gets to hear alarming stuff from every side.
Of course, yeah.
And so it's a difficult one, but just to chime in what you're saying there, there are a few acceptable faces of blackness or Asianness.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's our version.
That's
acceptable. Yeah. We're in charge of that still.
That's right. And I think that's sometimes what she feels as a mixed race person. She doesn't quite fit into that camp.
No.
Or that tick box. She's not performing.
No.
In different where she works.
But she's part of the audience that you're trying to perform to, and but they can't relate to these people because they're.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you only have to listen to sort of Radio 4. I'm not talking about entertainment or anything.
No.
To hear these sort of blanket expressions, the black community, say community leaders.
Yeah.
Community? Which community?
What are you talking about?
Who is my wife's community leader? You know, it's like...
When I was a kid, there wasn't a community leader.
I'm going to the community... It's not fucking... steps out of a wigwam and it's like, you have come to see. You know, what a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
So, but it is a very, you know, white middle class version of what should be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think, to be fair, people are trying to do something about it.
They are trying, but it's not enough. But mind you, I've said this again. We are in the middle of this massive overcorrection. This has been said by many people. So we're still finding... We're on the right path making differences.
There's an overcorrection.
Yeah, but we've all gone. Yeah, actually, yeah. All of that was all wrong. What we were doing. So now, we're going right the other way.
Yeah.
And then we are doing the right thing, but maybe we're looking in the wrong places.
I can never quite understand, and I'm aware that. And we are both aware, that we are two white, middle-aged blokes talking about. Before we say anything else, can we just have a disclaimer? You know, we're here.
Well, we're illegal now. We're the problem, straight white men.
I know, yeah, we are. But I can't remember what I was going to say. What I was going to say about that? Yeah. Has there been an overcorrection? What is that guilt? Because I went to school with black and Asian people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes think those people who are so terrified of being caught by something, they're the ones with some terrible latent guilt. Not me.
No,
I was really, really pissed off, and I don't know if this exists to it, when Sarah Pascoe was on that Frankie Boyle show.
Yes.
And she starts by going, looking to the camera and going, can I just say, on behalf of all white people, I apologise for us and the way we've been over the slave trade or something. I'm thinking, don't blame me. No. I'm not part of the establishment. I was born in 1968. I've done my best. Okay, everyone's a little bit racist, but I've done my best not to be... Don't lump me in with the East India Tea Company or, you know, all this stuff.
Exactly
and,
that.
And it, that her saying that doesn't help any.
No, of course it doesn't.
It just makes
her sound...
It's patronising. It sounds stupid. And then, of course, what did the camera do? Camera pans on two brown faces like they're from outer space.
Oh, God.
Why don't pan on to just two other people?
Yeah.
It's just because you're black or brown. It doesn't mean these are the only people who are on some strange other frequency. Now, what did they make of it? They're not from outer space. And that I hate. I don't know who put that together, and I don't know why she feels she has to apologise on behalf of me, because that really...
That's not...
Me.
Yeah, I didn't... I wasn't part of that. And they go, oh, yeah, but you benefited from it. You go, no, I didn't. You have any idea the shit I had to go in? I was surrounded by racists and homophobes, and I had to battle my way out of that so as not to become one of them.
Well, yeah. It sounds a bit worse than how I was brought.
Well, I was in that weird... Because my dad was middle class, but my mum's very working class.
Right.
So I kind of bridged that gap.
Right, okay. Where was it?
I grew up in Orpington in Kent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a bit...
Yeah.
Is it a bit Nazi?
I was at the rough end. Oh, God, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it a bit...
It's a little bit, yeah. I slagged off Kent on last week's one. I got to be careful.
Oh, bloody hell.
Look, it is. Yes, it's... There's very much a right-leaning element to Kent.
Yeah.
I feel, which is a shame.
Yeah, it is.
But to go on television and apologise... On behalf of...
Yeah, I just pissed me off. I don't know whether it was edited badly, but I just... Okay, even if she really wanted... That was a heartfelt sentiment. Okay, look, she probably had the best intentions.
Yes.
But that's clumsily done. I don't think that helps anyone.
No, of course not.
I think that just pisses people off.
Of course it does. Well, like you say, people that... Like Jade, again, she talks about... She says, all this talk of the patriarchy. She said, when I was a kid... Women were just in charge. Like when I was a kid,
it has been sort of formalised.
Yeah.
That people have to say, yeah, that's true, but yeah, women have always been in charge.
Yeah. When they talk about the patriarchy, they're talking like the top 1% of men in suits making all these decisions.
Yeah,
I get it. You're talking about them. But when you say all men, it gets a little bit infuriating.
Yeah.
You know? And then you turn around and go, it's not all men. And then they go, oh, yes, that's what you'd say.
Well, the funny thing is, there was on Facebook the other day, I think I shared it. It was from about the Arsenal 1971 double year. But they were going around Highbury, or maybe it was before that, interviewing ladies at their front door, around Highbury, all around their Blackstock Road and all that. And... It struck me, they're going, he goes off to the Arsenal. He goes off to the Arsenal on a Saturday. They're out there, they'll go on Saturday. And they said, how do you feel about him going? Are you never tempted to go? And a couple of them went, yeah, we always go. But a few of them, the idea of the patriarchy, why aren't the women allowed to go? She went, oh, no, good riddance, get rid of
him. Get him out of the way.
Get me out of the way. Bloody hell, who wants... And you go, yeah. Maybe they didn't want to do what the blokes are doing. That's fine.
So they're just happy to get rid of them.
Yeah, and they've got their mates there and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Look, but to any feminists listening, this is dangerous.
Whoa.
I know we'll get shot down.
We're
going to
get cancelled now.
Sorry. We are. Sorry about that. But, you know, look, it is... Maybe these are all complicated issues. And maybe we've just...
we're wrong. Clumsy wandering into this.
We are clumsy.
This has been lovely.
Oh, I really enjoyed it.
And now we're
going to
go and have a wonderful show.
Yeah, we're going to have a great show. So glad
to
be here, mate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Insane in the Membrane. There we are. Alex Lowe.
aka Clinton Baptiste, aka Barry from Watford. He's a lovely dude, isn't he? Really nice, proper chatty, just a sweetheart to be around. He had his cape nicked when we were in Leeds, because he comes out and he's got his cape and he throws it into the crowd and someone nicked it. So if he hasn't found it right now, if anyone knows the whereabouts of Clinton Baptiste's cloak in the Leeds area, if you see someone wearing it up the shops, get some milk, give us a shout, because he'd really like it back. It's a one-off with true magical powers. So thank you again for joining us. Thank you for all your continued support and your lovely messages. If you want to jump up onto the iTunes and drop us a five-star review and a five-star rating, and then that'll get us up the charts, get people listening. We really do appreciate that. If you want to shout out, drop us a message, and I'll be more than happy to do that for you. Until next time, take care. We'll see you again.
Thank you so much for coming down. Really appreciate it. Insane in the Membrane podcast.
This Sunday, the 8th of December, join us for Insane in the Membrane live from the Pleasance Theatre Islington with Rich Wilson.
I've been a comedian for 15 years. It's going all right. Although I was scrabbling around my car yesterday trying to find 60p for a tin of beans. So...
And very special guest, star of Uncle and the Reluctant Landlord.
Good evening, cocksuckers!
The brilliant Nick Helm.
And gentlemen!
Tickets are just a fiver. It's nothing. It's the price of a pint. And you can buy one of those too. Sunday, 7:30 p.m. at the Pleasance Theatre, Islington.
I found that through humour, people open up and we have a laugh. And I really appreciate you coming down and doing this. This is the first live one.
Click the link in the show description for this episode on your podcast app.
We can have a laugh while we do it. I think that's what I'm trying to show with the podcast.
And while you're there, please vote for us at the Pod Bible Poll Winners Awards. Both links are in the description, or go to pleasance.co.uk or podbiblemag.com respectively.
You did great, Rich.
Thanks, Bob.
Didn't you do great?
Thank you.
We'll see you on Sunday the 8th of December, unless, of course, it's after Sunday the 8th of December, in which case you've missed it, and you'll have to wait till February.
What do we do now?
I don't know. I think that's it. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.